Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast. I'm Chas Hathaway. I'm going to share another sample from The Message by Lance Richardson. And we have not read much in depth of his book. We only shared a few samples, I think, in one of the episodes about the light, or maybe the tunnel or something like that. One of those ones that was talking about the fundamentals. So we're going to read a chapter. At this point, Lance is in the spirit world. He is being escorted by his cousin, Randy, who had died several years earlier from leukemia. And they are walking along, or whatever you do, drifting. I think walking. Anyway, this is where we'll pick up. Lance says, entering into the spirit world, or the dimension where spirits reside after this life, had taken place so quickly that I hardly discerned my location before seeing my dead relatives who were present to greet me. It was such a comforting aid to my arrival. Randy assured me that everyone who dies has close relatives and friends present to greet them when they pass through the veil which separates our two worlds. I watched numerous people pass through that veil while I was there. It was most enjoyable. I witnessed an elderly woman whose family anticipated her arrival. They were jumping up and down excitedly, as if waiting for a loved one to come off an airplane. A slender man, who was most obviously the husband of the woman, paced back and forth nervously. Two women patted him on the back and excitedly hugging him as they anticipated the arrival. There was a group of nearly 20 individuals standing together. Another man, who acted as a leader to the group, then stepped partly through the veil so that I could not see him. He then stepped back, announcing happily, "It is time," and turned back into the veil. He reached his arm forward and drew it back, holding the hand of an elderly woman. She seemed startled and a bit blinded at first. Then, upon seeing the group, her expression turned to one of absolute splendor. They parted for her to see the gentleman standing at the back, the one who appeared to be her husband. They rushed into one another's arms. The entire company encircled them and eagerly welcomed her home. I was deeply moved. I realized very quickly that a spirit can experience great extremes of emotion, as I was feeling at that moment. "Is this how it happens?" I asked Randy, choking with emotion. "Isn't it beautiful? I never tire of seeing it," he answered me. The group began to walk away together. "They are going to where a family celebration has been planned," Randy explained. "Celebration? I guess I had never thought of the spirit world having celebrations. What is it like?" "Oh, it's wonderful. Families get together when loved ones pass into our world and celebrate other special events and occasions. For example, the day of the Savior, the day of the birth of our Savior into mortality. All the heavens and spirit world rejoice exceedingly for that event. It is an incredible celebration," Randy continued. "And they have a great feast," Uncle Howard, Randy's father, who had died just a few short years ago, said as they stepped to Randy's side. He put his arm around Randy's shoulder and smiled at me. "Eat?" I said. "You can eat in the spirit world?" I could hardly believe he was serious. Randy seemed to have gotten a good feel for it, Uncle Howard said laughingly. Randy continued. "It wouldn't be heavenly without it," he said triumphantly, as a man who knew whereof he spoke. "Oh, I wish you could stay to see it. It is most wonderful." At that moment, two things he had said filled my mind. First, until that instant, I had not considered that this was not heaven. Though the abode was heavenly, it was a realm where spirits awaited their resurrections. Heaven was a place where God personally resided, a realm where resurrected beings could live. "This is not heaven, is it, Randy?" I sought to confirm. "No, this is paradise. It is a place of absolute peace, a Zion for those spirits who have lived righteous lives. You're right, he continued, having clearly discerned my thoughts. God does not reside here. That is where heaven is. Does he come here? I asked. Oh, yes. He, as well as his angels who have assignments here, come to fulfill their work. I'll show you where they come. Before we could leave, however, I had to ask my other question. Randy, you said that you wished I could stay to see the great celebration for the birth of the Savior. Why couldn't I stay and see it? Is my feeling true? Am I going back to the earth again? He smiled. It's a little more complicated than that. There are a few decisions that must be made by you and by those who make those decisions here. I've been asked to be your escort. I've been assigned to take you to certain places and show you certain things. There is much we need to teach you, but I feel quite certain you will not be here very long. I'm confident the things you are to learn are for your help when you go back, not for here. You still have much to accomplish on Earth. Be patient, he said as he put his arm around the back of my neck and lovingly shook me. You'll understand it better soon. Your memory has not come back much yet. I was content for the moment with this answer. Something inside of me seemed to tell me I had more to do on Earth, but I could not quite grab hold of the source in my mind from whence these feelings came. It seemed as if my mind contained a memory bank, which, once opened, would help me recognize important instructions and information. I recognized the propriety in Randy's advice. Be patient. It was also comforting to me to see Randy's demeanor. He had not changed much. Death had not dimmed his sense of humor. That was one thing I had always feared in death. The very word death seemed to signify gloom, but I was finding out I was gravely mistaken in my assumption. Humor is a good word and wonderful part of our characters, which God has instilled in us. And Randy had only improved his happy character, not changed it. Even his arm around my neck at that moment reminded me of his love of wrestling. Of a truth, death is not an end. It is but a transition in our pathway through eternity. The other family members who had greeted me took their leave at this point. Each assured me I would see them again before I left. It seemed that they were most certain of my return to Earth. I asked Grandpa Mark why he was so certain I was going back, if there were decisions that had to be made. You're going back, my boy. You can count on it. I know what you will choose, and I know what you have left to do. He gave me a quick hug and smiled. You will be going back. You mark my words. I thanked him, hugged Grandma, and waved goodbye as they and the others headed away. It was extremely interesting to me how each family member explained they were busy and needed to get back to their specific work and assignments as they left. Each spirit or person was filled with love and peace, and each was anxiously involved in a work. I never did see an idle person the entire time I was in their world. Though there were many who were studying, numerous busily working, and others in happy discourse one with another, I never saw anyone who looked as if they had no idea what to do. Theirs is a world of great order and direction. As we began to walk away from my entrance place, I scanned the grayish curtain-like matter they called the veil. It went on for as far as I could see. Throughout my experience, I witnessed many individuals pass through it into the waiting arms of loved ones. It was not always at the same location as where I had entered. I concluded this was the reason for such varied yet similar descriptions of the spirit world from people who had shared near-death experiences. Some facts were so completely the same, such as the incredible peace each feels, but the surroundings were often different. Randy shared with me that their world is every bit as large as our world. In fact, it's the same place, but a different dimension. We began to walk down a pathway lined with varied flowers and foliage. I stopped to look closer at these beautiful plants. I kneeled and gently touched the petals and greenery. I felt a surge within me, as if these creatures were seeking to say to my soul, "We too are creations of God. We have sought with diligence to create beauty and splendor of celestial magnitude. Have we done so? Have we filled your heart with joy in singing us? Have we not fulfilled the measure of our creation?" And I wanted to say back to them, "Oh yes, be at peace. You have given me great joy. Truly you have sought and filled your purpose." Love was being radiated by them. How is that possible? I thought. Or how is it possible? I thought. Then immediately the understanding came to my mind, saying, "These are all my creations, as are you. They each have a spirit, as do you. Yet theirs is different from those of mankind. They are completely content as plant life, as are my animals. The purpose of their creation is different from your creation. And as they fulfill that measure of their creation, they receive a fullness of joy. There is order in all things of my kingdom." The words were true, and love filled me. All plants and animals are God's creation, and he loves them. And I gained a much greater respect and love for them at that moment. But there was more. More teaching was occurring inside me. I realized that the truth of the words conveyed to me had brought an additional level of peace and warmth to my soul. I knew it was truth, for I could feel it was so. Truth can be discerned by its feelings. When we hear or are given truth, it brings a burst of warmth and additional strength of what they call spirit. It is light to our souls. It matters not whether this truth is conveyed concerning spiritual laws of repentance or the laws of physics used to create in the creative process. Each is truth, and truth is always witnessed within us by the illuminating light and warmth of the spirit. A voice within me helped me understand that this principle was a truth which I could carry with me to discern the light from the darkness in our world as well. If it is truth, the Spirit will be there. "Thereby you may know what is truth, and the truth shall set you free," the voice of the Spirit taught me. I was consumed in the Spirit. I burned with a warmth of love and illuminating light. I looked at Randy as he knelt beside me. He knew what I had experienced. I saw it filling him, too, as he looked into my eyes. "You feel it too, don't you, Randy?" "Yes, Lance," he said with a look of complete understanding. "You are being taught by the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God which illuminates all truth and light. It is light, and that Spirit can teach you all things." He waited for a moment, knowing what I was feeling. Then he continued, "What you are experiencing is the truest form of learning." All I could do was sit for a moment and bask in the magnitude of what I was feeling. I was completely overcome. I had never known such a thirst for knowledge. It seemed unquenchable, as if I were a cup that could never be filled, wanting more and more. I wanted to never be left alone, away from that light and truth which filled me at that moment. There was a yearning to learn and to progress forever. Somehow the greatness and omnipotence of our God seemed more understandable at that moment. Truly, he possessed a fullness of that unquenchable fire, for all truth is of him. Words are so weak. The exhilaration I felt must be one of those unspeakable things of the Spirit, for I am completely incapable of describing it adequately. It must be learned and felt by oneself. Yet I must share it with you. I felt a thirst for knowledge such as I have never known. And it was filled with love and light. Perhaps the love of God is far more encompassing than we have ever understood. that's the end of the account that I'm going to read. Again, this is from The Message by Lance Richardson. I chose this one partly because the last one that we shared yesterday was a very ethereal one, one that was just kind of like very, just basking in this transcendental, absolute oneness of the universe, the kind of thing where you're like, I'm not even sure what to picture that, you know, but there's utter joy, and so I'm, you know, not complaining. That's great, you know, beautiful. And yet there's different aspects, obviously, to our experience on the other side. Both this oneness with all things that's so encompassing as to seemingly temporarily set aside the individual, if you will, and forget the self to some extent. But there's also this side that is so, I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but physical. So normal-ish, and yet joyful and beautiful, that that I think it's important to consider that both seem to be the case. Sometimes you'll hear a near-death experience where they say, you know, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in angels, but I believe in the oneness of the universe because I experienced it. That's what I saw. And then others will say, I saw that there were trees and houses and buildings and computers, and you think, well, wait a minute, which is it? And the answer is very simple. There's both, because people will go and they will experience both. They'll go in the light and have this big transcendental experience, and then they'll go into the house of learning and study and meet people and talk to people and have a little party, whatever, you know. I mean, there's it, if one were to just look at this world, say an alien that's from some world that is so incredibly different from ours that, I don't know, they live on this world of liquid, you know, they breathe liquid mercury, and it's this, you know, they're swimming in this sea, or whatever, I don't know what. But if they were thrown here to a random place on Earth and shown, you know, 10 minutes of Earth life, some would say, well, it's this, you know, it's this room, you know, that's maybe 20 foot by 10 foot, or let's say 10 foot by 10 foot, and it's filled with wires and screens and so forth, and there's people singing and into strange sticks and so forth, and you know, somebody from Earth would say, well, you were obviously in a music studio. And then someone else would, or another alien might show up in the, you know, rivers of the Amazon and find, wow, it's this incredible world of water and fish life and all this, and there are places you can come out of the water and it's filled with thick foliage and so forth, and that would be your description. And somebody else appearing in the White House is going to have a very different explanation of what Earth is like, and somebody else appearing, you know, in a desert is going to explain it differently. You know, the point is, there's no reason for us to be concerned that we're getting different kinds of places in these near-death experiences, or even these different types of experiences. You know, this oneness of the universe, as well as this beautiful landscape. You know, that's totally consistent. We have both on Earth as well, you know, between sleep and TV and playing outside and being in a shopping mall. There's every different kind of experience. Such seems to be the case with the spirit world, and even more so. But I wanted to share this one for that reason, to kind of give the other side. We had a very transcendental one last time. This is a very earth-like, a joyful earth-like. It's a paradise, you know. It's talking to people. There are people eating and playing. And it's just very, it's the kind of thing that if you suddenly appeared there, say a, you know, meteor came out of the sky and hit you in the back of the head, and you died instantly and were instantly in this location, you might suddenly be like, no, how did I get here? Where am I? And you might, you know, it wouldn't be until you recognize the incredible joy and the love and so forth that you'd think, I don't think I'm on Earth, regular old Earth anymore. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to say about this, and I think it's important to this next chapter, which, you know what, I might go ahead and read that. Actually, you know what, I'm going to read that tomorrow, for tomorrow's. Yeah, let's do that. It will continue this one tomorrow, because it's a beautiful one, and merits its own introduction, if you will. But very life-like, you know, it's nice to know that the people on the other side, I love this reception area where everybody's seeing the new people coming in from Earth, and they're like, what's going on? And they see their loved ones, and they're like, oh, it's so good to see you, and love, and kisses, and bawling, and laughing, and I mean, how joyful. And they say, I never get tired of seeing it, his friend says, and then being instructed by the Spirit. And sometimes in these things, it's unclear whether they're floating in an abyss of light while they're getting this truth download, or if they're still in some kind of simple, beautiful landscape. And in this case, it seems to be in this beautiful landscape still. That seems to be some kind of, you know, reception area. Anyway, very interesting. If you'd like to contact the podcast, either with questions, or if you'd like to share your experience or be interviewed, just contact me at neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave a message or a comment by calling 970-NDE-CAST. That's 970-NDE-CAST. So, with that, thank you all of you so much for listening.